Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Everyone doing well? That's great. How good to be together. It's pretty special, isn't it? Isn't it amazing what God decided? I'm going to create a church. It's going to be a family. Every culture, every background. Every person got something within them that's going to help enable it to be what it is. How awesome is God? I've got to say, it's amazing what God is doing at the moment, isn't it? Three people thought so. Sorry, I'm in a bad habit of doing that every time. I want to say hello. If you haven't met me, my name's Craig, and it's a real honor if it's your first Sunday. You've been coming a couple of weeks, and we just haven't connected yet. What an honor to have you here. Trust you've been able to meet people, and just you feel like there's a warmth, regardless of how much you understand in God or don't know about God. There's a warmth, because really, really true to believe, we really do believe that as a church, regardless of how deep you are in understanding or how much you feel out of your depth, that church should always be a place you can belong. You are not here because you meet a certain criteria, because there's a box that you tick. You're here because you're a human being with a destiny and a purpose on your life. And we believe in that deeply, and you've got to hear it. There's no obligation for you to be at any certain level before you become what is someone that we would love to do life with and just journey with and just explore God. Because I tell you what, you never arrive. You're always on the journey. And that's the exciting thing about it. So just an honor to have you here. It's just fantastic. You guys are playing sweet. Those fingers. Nige and Quinan, a beautiful family in our church. You know, if you've been here long enough, you know that when I sit down, it's kind of a different message. It helps me get through stuff, which Nigel's fingers aren't helping with. Right? The sweet sound. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to let Nigel and the amazing team have a seat. But Father, we honor you. We thank you for who you are. We're incredibly honored that we get to be together today in your presence. We acknowledge your presence that's here. God, we thank you for every person joining us remotely, online, whether it's at this very moment or later in a week. I just pray, Lord, that in these moments, people wouldn't hear my thoughts, my heart, but God, they would capture your heart and they would understand you on a greater level. And Lord, that we would entrust ourselves to you in an increased way. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives and all that you're doing in your church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give these guys a great hand and every person involved. We thank those in the car park. We thank those who are on catering. We thank those who welcomed us. Thank those who found our seats, filled our communion cups, cleaned the rubbish bins. Grateful for everyone?
Yeah.
Me too. I just love what God is doing, and I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone for your heart after God, your heart after Him. It really does, I believe, enable God to move in ways that you could never orchestrate on your own. As much as you could wish it to happen, if we don't have hearts that are hungry for Him, then literally what we're doing is manufacturing something that can only be brought by His presence. But when we have hearts that are hungry for Him, then the good news is that God responds far beyond what we could ever do on our own. And just what God's doing at the moment is just amazing. And who loves? I have to ask the question. Who's grateful and who loves being a part of this life family, the church family? Awesome. Awesome. There's 25 of us. It's fantastic. No. Again, stop, Craig. But today, actually, I've really felt stirred in my heart. We're sort of entering a month which we're calling His House, My Home. His house, God's house, my home. And I have to say, you, I actually felt as we were praying into this and just preparing this and what God was leading in my heart is actually to say, it was almost like, Craig, have a sit down. Let's have like a sit down family chat where you do most of the talking, but still we'll call it a chat. Anyone have family meetings like that? Dad calls a family meeting and then Dad's the only one that talks. And I want to talk as a family. Listen up. And I'm actually going to, the hope is that at a certain point later on, I'm actually going to like spontaneously, nobody has been prepared, Spontaneously, I might go to a few people and ask you questions as towards your heart for his house and how it has become your home. And in that, why you don't just make it a home for you, but you may and enable it to be increasingly a home for others. So we're having a chat because a few months ago we had expansion, and really what God is doing through that is incredible, and it wasn't a three-week campaign. This is about what God's put in front of us, the vision that we are all there called to be a part of when we heart willingly want to respond, and that's an awesome thing, and if you haven't, you can still do that. There's no cutoff in that sense, but in that time, God really put in my heart saying, Craig, we're actually as a church, like Joshua, we're actually now crossing into the promised land. Yeah. And so we've been in this great faithful place of God moving in incredible ways, but we're now going to cross over and going to enter into that which is promised, which is this permanent home that's just down the road, and we're 3 months away from moving in. It's phenomenal. So God speaks to Joshua, tells him to be strong and courageous, which surprisingly is actually the statement that God put in my heart for us as a congregation at the start of this year. And my first message was like, God said, Craig, we need as a church be strong and courageous. We're going to walk out of this year different to the way we walked in a year full of discipleship and following him. And in that moment of expansion, really felt like God said, it's a unifying time. But what happens is God has this moment with Joshua where he commands him to be strong and courageous, encourages him, don't let the word of the Lord depart from you, meditate on it day or night, don't turn from the right or to the left, and have I not commanded you, be strong and very courageous. The very next thing Joshua does is Joshua says, okay, he goes out to the leaders and he says, guys, we've got 3 days to prepare everybody to cross over from where we are to what we're going to enter into. And I felt like God saying, Craig, you got 3 months to try and prepare everybody to cross over from where we are to what we're going to step into. Because if we live and operate from the same perspective and platform we've been living for the last season, then when we enter the promise, I tell you what, it's going to look different. It's going to operate different. We can't enter in and act the same way and do the same thing or be potentially positioned the same as we are now when we're moving into what God's saying. I'm not just moving you over so you can set up camp again. I'm moving you over because I've got new expansion, new horizons, new areas I want to lead this church into, where I want to take you for things I want you to possess, giants I want to see come down, and God's kingdom to advance. But if we go with the same mentality we have now, then unfortunately what happens is we'll all move buildings, but we won't have moved anything in our spirit. And God wants us to move something in our spirit. And Reverend Paul, as of today, Reverend Paul, we have a prayer meeting. We saturate every service in prayer. We had a prayer meeting this morning, and he just said, you know what, let's pray for the shepherds. And all week God's saying, Craig, you need a shepherd. Today you need a shepherd. And a shepherd leads his sheep, but not every leading path is always easy. Not everything comes with just encouragement. Some comes with a bit of correction. He uses his rod and his staff. Why? To help keep them on the path so that we can get to where God wants us to go. Not so that he can tell them what to do. No, so we can all collectively get to where God wants us to go. Does that make sense? So Lord, help me in this. So today we're talking about the reality of stepping into Sim Street. And Sim Street, if we want to talk facility-wise, Sim Street would be about 50% bigger than where we are now. Right? So what we have as a whole church now, cut that in half and add it on and expand that. So the opportunity for incredibly more people to be a part of the life family, which is why we're going there, what God is doing. If you can't see, that's why he's enlarging where we're going. It's because he has a harvest that's ready. There's a harvest that's coming. And then technically means there's actually going to be a lot more areas that we're actually going to need to expand in our teams to be able to fulfill the opportunity to serve people well, to love people well, to house what God is doing well. And so straight away, I know a couple of people might say this, oh, okay, so today's a recruitment drive. I see what we're doing here. You just want people to be added to your teams. And I would like to just address that at the start, because if we stay with that mindset, then who knows, we're already blocked off to what God actually might want to put in our heart in this moment. Firstly, it's not mine. That's really important. Because when we come into a positions like this, or we're new to church, often we project that the person at the front, those with the microphone, those with the title are the ones, oh, it's yours. No, 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 this is God's house, and this is His church. You're not building my name, you're not fluffing my feathers, you're not pumping my tires. No, we are here building collectively His house, and I just want to be as faithful as anybody else with the part that God's asked me to play. And then collectively, it's not about who's... How does the hierarchy here work? There is no hierarchy. There is a family that simply have encountered Jesus and said, man, there's a name we're going to lift up. There's a name that's going to save and turn around our city. And so just want to address that. It's not my teams. You're not pumping up my tires. No, this is His house. This is His church. It's the hope to all humanity. It's the answer for our world. And it's going to take all of His kids to be able to see it be all that He wants it to be. Secondly is that I don't want you just to fulfill a team. I want your life to be more fulfilled than you've ever found it. I want it to be more filled than you've ever found it before. This could possibly be a family chat that actually transforms your walk with God for the rest of your life. I pray it is, as I share just a few things that God's taught me in my years of just falling in love with Him and then falling in love with His house. And therefore, it becoming not their home, not my friend's home, not the person who brought me's home, no, my home. This is my home. This is something that's dear to my heart. I love this place. What I am confident of is that God would not lead us into the next season if within what we have, there wasn't everything that we need. God doesn't always give us tables and chairs, but He does create forests with trees. And in that is the potential. Through carving, through vision, through encouragement, through right placement, through a willingness, through a you can shape me. No, you can't shape me. Okay, well, you'll stay a tree. But there's actually potential inside you that could do so much to enable others to sit at a table to receive something that nothing in this world can give them. So I'm confident of this, that within who we are and where we're at, there's everything that we need. So I've got a whole like different pages of thoughts, and I'm really just relying on the Holy Spirit to like order it. here's the thought. We call churches a home. I got saved in another church. I love that church. I'm forever grateful for that church. It transformed my life. But after being there for 9 or so months and giving myself completely to it, I then ended up in America fulfilling what was my dream on my life at that time. It was to snowboard and get paid for it. And so I became a snowboard instructor in Colorado and spent 6 months of my life teaching people to snowboard, especially children. And it was awesome. And I'm sitting up on the top of the mountain, as I would after the most days, was catch the last lift up to the very top, sit there and just marvel at, wow. And I remember sitting up there and going, this is your dream. I was like, I'm fulfilling my dream. I am living the dream. And there was this very real reality. It's like, gosh, it's a shallow dream. I'm 18 and I'm already lived the full entirety of what I thought was the purpose of my life. There's got to be more to life than this. I came back and was invited to a connect group. Had never been to a Sunday, came to a connect group. That connect group of people were just so authentic, genuine, just welcoming as I was. Had nothing against the previous church, loved the other church, but for whatever reason, I liked these people, so they said, come to a Sunday. So I walked into a Sunday service of about 900 people, never been in a church that large, walked in, and all of a sudden, I sensed this feeling called home. People had talked about a home feeling, but I didn't know what that felt like. Although I loved where I got saved, I walked in and was like, this is home. Wow, this is home. So it felt like home, but the truth is it was, even though it felt like home, it actually wasn't my home yet. In the sense that what it was more like to me in that first season, and this isn't a negative, but it was a season, it felt actually more like an all-expenses-paid hotel. Anybody enjoy an all-expenses-paid hotel? Buffet, yes. You know? Salmon already got the orders coming in right now. Those are the orders. You don't even make your bed, but you turn back up and it's made for you. You just, you know, like there's some that have like kids programs and you just like kids care, you just drop them off at kids and then you go and just bathe by the pool and have your own time in Bali, Jazz and Adrian, how good was that? Right? But the truth of it is actually, whilst there is a season where actually church is like an all expenses paid hotel. We walk in, no responsibility. We drop our kids off, they have an amazing time. And I'm not being negative about it. This is just the wonder of what church is like. But the truth of it is that you can't live in a hotel all your life. Yes. There actually comes a point where you actually go, hey, there's actually something on me and there's something in my heart. I just can't stand and let everybody else behind the scenes run around and do everything. There's something in my heart to be a part of what this is. And it takes it from being just, yes, this is a home, to actually, no, now this is my home. Yes. And we get out of that place where it's all done around us and for us, but actually we start carrying the part that God has called us to carry. Yes. And therefore we actually sink in. It doesn't become theirs, it becomes mine. And in that becoming mine, actually what I now do is I enable the opportunity for it not just to stay mine, but to increasingly become others. Yeah. Yes. And it enlarges what God's doing. I hope that makes sense. Yes. So it's a home, but then at times also the church, it's a hospital. It's a hospital. People walk into church hurt, broken, mistreated, a little beaten because of other maybe faith environments that you've been in. And there's time where church needs to be a hospital. Well, you need to be able to lie in the bed and others come to you and say, hey, where are you hurting? And I want life to always be forever an increasing hospital. But the truth is, if you were to ask anyone in the medical profession or if you ask Kate, who was singing today, who's a physio and works in hospitals, they would tell you very quickly that once the care has been applied, once the treatment, the main triage has been fixed, the next thing they need to do is get you moving. Because if we don't get that moving soon, what's going to happen is it's going to seize up. There's going to be muscle that was there that's going to deteriorate really quickly. And all of a sudden, not only is what was injured going to somewhat be on the restoration process, actually, we actually start getting bed sores because we've been laying still for too long. And therefore, what happens is our mentality of what we had to overcome was only once, say, isolated to a leg injury. All of a sudden, now I've got bed sores, I've got a sore knee, my muscles have deteriorated, and my mindset is I don't think I'll ever function like I once functioned. And so therefore, in every hospital, they don't let us stay in the bed for longer than we need to. They actually start moving us at the right capacity, at the right time, starting to get it going again. Why? Because they want you running and living to the full capacity of what you were created to be able to live. And I pray that we would be a church in the most loving of way, the most gracious of methods, and the most mercy-filled ministry, is that where there's moments where we need a hospital, there would be enough love and support around us that would say, it's time to get moving. Yes. Come on, give me that foot. I'm going to start to enable that knee to compress again. And it's going to hurt a little bit at the start, but I tell you what, if we just keep at it, you watch. Freedom's going to come. 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 Does that make sense? Helping. But I would say in our church that 80% of people wouldn't be in hospital. But what I have discovered over this week, and I don't say this with heaviness, please don't hear it heavy, because really my heart is for people to live at the full. I have discovered over this week, as we've done the numbers and everything like that, is that actually but only 20% of people are making home what home is. Let's say 10% of people in hospital. That'd be roughly or nearly around 200 people. So let's say 20% actively involved, 10% are in a hospital. That means 70% are in a position where it's home, but I'm probably more in the hotel bracket than I am in the home category. And I know it sounds heavy, but I don't want it to be heavy. Because I want you to hear that God doesn't want you to live from a place of obligation. He doesn't want you to be commanded to serve. Yeah. I actually think he wants us to carry a conviction of what it is that he doesn't want to just use through us, but actually what he wants to do in us. And it is going to be a little bit challenging at times, because I would say that really, like, I thought it would be better than that. I honestly, like, have always prayed that it would be so authentic and genuine that there would be a willingness that whenever anybody got ready to jump in, and that doesn't mean, well, I've just been here 1 month, now you're making me serve. No, no, no. When you're ready. When you're ready, there's next steps every month. When you're ready, there's an invitation that's there. When you're ready, but there comes a moment where it's like, well, I've just got so used to this and life's so full on that really to add another thing, I don't think I can add another thing. And so church becomes another thing in our life rather than becoming seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will work out, but I probably got to focus on all the other things and hopefully the seek first will just fall into place. Somebody else can't seek first for you. They can't. The amount of people that we are able to carry can't just be based on who is carrying now. When God led us, before we had even, the day before we drove on Sim Street, God, I was on my knees at my desk. I said, God, you've got to give me something. And he gave me a picture of an aircraft carrier. And he said, and we'd been declaring expansion, not even though we knew we were like leaving here. And in that moment, he said, look up, what's the purpose of the aircraft carrier? The purpose of the aircraft carrier is to carry, to equip, to deploy, and to recover. Yeah. And I felt like God said, Craig, as a church, we're going to carry more people than we've ever carried before. And that was in the middle of COVID. And we have seen by God's grace our ability to carry more people than we've ever carried before. And more people are adding on team all the time. And it's been amazing. It's a miracle. But it's almost like God's saying, come on, if we're going to cross over into the promise of what he has, come on, it can't be, you know, the stat of 20% doing 80% of the work. Yes. Well, we're kind of like 20% doing 100%. We can't actually operate from that. Yeah. Come on, we can't be a family where 8 out of 10 of the family members are saying to everybody else, yeah, you can cook tonight. Yeah, you can clean up after me. Actually, my bed sheets need washing. Like, do you hear my heart? Like, please don't hear it heavy because it's not heavy. So this is the part where I want to turn it around. All right, this is where we get encouraging. Someone's like, finally. If you're at home, please, I hope you haven't turned off by now. Someone there was reaching for the button. Stay. Please stay. John 4:4-42. Now Jesus, this is about the Samaritan woman. It says this, now he had to go through Samaria. And that's not a had to because it was a burden. It was a had to because it was a conviction. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, listen, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the noon. He had to meet this woman. He had to minister to this woman. He had to. And Jesus reveals, then it goes on, and I have to paraphrase it because we're going to go to verse 27. But basically, from that moment, Jesus meets this Samaritan woman, and he reveals to her that the temporary supply she's going to drink from is only going to leave her feeling like she needs more. It's never going to satisfy the eternal desire that she has. He reveals to her that her past, her gender, and her separation of cultural beliefs are not a barrier for her to be able to receive the wonder of Jesus in her life. He then says to her, you simply need to ask and I would give you a drink. And he reveals that he is the promised Messiah. And in that, there was an exchange that transformed her life forever. Jesus' disciples come back having gone off because Jesus was tired to get him food. They say, what are you doing talking to a Samaritan woman? She's had her life flipped upside down and she just runs off to the town which she'd been hiding from to go and tell them what Jesus had done. And the Jesus is in verse 27, then Jesus' disciples returned and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want and why are you talking with her? Then leaving the water jar, the woman ran back and to the town, to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And if you know the story, you know what she was telling them was pretty, you know, detrimental stuff, pretty personal, vulnerable stuff. But when Jesus changes a life, it's not something you ever want to keep to yourself, regardless of how bound up and how broken that might seem to somebody else. When you're free, you're free, and you want to bring that to others, right? And so they made their way out to him, and as they're making their way out to him, the disciples are with him, and then meanwhile, his disciples urge him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then he said to his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And then Jesus said, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me to do the finish of his work. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish, his work. Jesus, tired from the journey. See, what happens is we all have a journey, right? Life is a journey. Every week is a journey. I nearly tipped that, and that would have been embarrassing. There's a journey. Jesus is tired from the journey where God asked him to go, the journey to do what God needed him to do. He was tired from the journey. He was tired from the walking. He was tired. He was weary. He was drained. He needed refreshing. He's tired. Jesus, tired, parched. He's not even like ready enough to go into town. The disciples will go for him. He's tired, right? I don't know about you, but when it comes to the idea of God using us in an increased way, we can go, God, I'm tired from the journey. Yes. I'm tired from everyday life. Yes. I'm tired from raising kids. Can I get a hallelujah? Yes. I'm tired from having to work and work and at the moment pick up more shifts to try and cover the bills. I'm tired, Lord, from the journey. Yes. And here I am now sitting in church thinking I was going to get encouraged and refreshed, and now this guy's asking me to give more. You don't understand, Craig. I'm tired from the journey. Yes. I'm tired from the relational stuff I have to work through. I'm tired from all the things I'm trying to organize. I'm tired from, and then we have just a little bit left at the come Sunday, say. And then he says, come on, would you now pour into that person in the foyer via a connection team? Would you now, come on, would you pour out your gift of worship and enable somebody else to encounter my presence this Sunday? Would you now, with your ability to lead and look after kids, come on, would you pour that out? And we're looking at what we have left and we say, I ain't got nothing left. I ain't got nothing left. But I am grateful. I'm so grateful for the ones that do. Oh man, I'm so grateful for the ones who put the communion cups in the seats so then every Sunday, whenever I feel like having communion, we can have communion. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the guys on the coffee machine. Oh. Hebrews. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. But in our gratitude and in our ability just to come, whilst we need to be in that moment, the lie the enemy has sold us is that when you give out to the things that God has placed on your life, the lie the enemy has told you is that you are now going to be left without. You'll have nothing left when you do what God's got on your life to do. And so therefore, to preserve ourselves, what we do is we go, not in this season. I can't today. Not at the moment. And we can give an excuse as to why not do what God has actually graced you to do. Yet I want us to get a new revelation as we step over, as we walk into the promise. Is that whilst it's going to cause us to have to take some ownership, you will not be left empty when you operate out of what God has graced on your life to do. I've had food. So he's not even saying that all the journeying was slowly filled back up. Well, I didn't mean to tip that, and I'm so grateful it went in. He's not even saying he'll pour a little bit back, and you go, okay, here we go. Monday to Saturday. Hope I can make it last. No, no, no. What Jesus did is says, I'm full. I'm full. I'm not just topped up. I'm full. So we're looking at what we think will be empty without realizing Jesus is saying, I never promised you empty. I promised you filled to overflowing. So what you need to do is stop realizing it's about what you've got a capacity for and what strength you have right now and your ability in this moment. You've got to realize what I want you to do is be able to trust me with what you have in your hand and what you've got graced in your life to realize that actually what I want to do is I want to replace not just what you poured out, but I want to fill you back up. Yes. So now you are full. Yes. And you're ready to step into what God has for the next journey that you're about to embark on. And because of our fear of being used, and some of us in this room, we have been used. Some of us, we've seen a need, and because of the need, we've just gone and done, and filled the need, filled the need, filled the need, filled the need, filled the need. But I'd say I love something that we've tried to operate within our church. While we have a spirit of servanthood, that means we're willing wherever, we've tried to enable most, and if not everyone, be connected to where are you graced? Where are you graced? Are you graced in admin? Are you graced in technical? Are you graced with a good smile? I wish I was graced with tone. I try my best to get on the team. Where are you graced? Because where you're graced, that's where you're called to be a part of the body. And if you don't play your part, then you know what? The body's actually missing some parts. And it's not able to function to the fullness that God wants it to function at. But Jesus says to them, hey, yeah, actually God gave me enough just to minister to the water woman. Now where's the fish and chips? He said, I don't need what you have. I'm now full to go and step into because there's a city of people coming with need. And I'm already full, ready to go and minister to the next need that's about to walk in. God wants us to live from a place of His fulfilling in our lives so that when we walk into our parenthood, when we walk into our university, when we walk into our work, when we walk into the season we're in, we're not walking in empty because we gave to God. We're walking in overflowing because we ministered in God and He would do something powerful in our lives. He wants to replace. He just doesn't want to top up. He just doesn't want to go, how much did you give? Here's how much you get. No, no, no. And I pray that for all of us, because there's a mentality, oh, I'm giving, I'm serving today, not getting anything. Whoa, whoa, stop that. That is not a culture in this house. If you're outworking the grace of God on your life, come on, we should be more full the moment we leave. This Thursday night, I've got to hurry for time, but this Thursday night, we had like 50 upcoming leaders or those who have just stepped into leadership in a kind of like a leadership development forum. It was so encouraging and exciting. And then we're talking about all these different principles, and I say this with like, this is, hear this the right way. But then Nadia and I were co-hosting, and she said, oh, no, there's even some days I don't feel like, you know, like turning up, and because the weight of it, and we all have that, right? Even in the things we love the most. Come on, we love our kids dearly, but there's sometimes in the morning where it's like, Dad, can I have some cornflakes? You're just like, Lord, just take them. Just for one more hour. You know, like, so there's moments even in the things we love the most that we feel like, gosh, I don't know if I've got what I need for today. Yeah. And I said, you know what, I mean, when it comes to Sunday, I don't feel like I ever don't want to be here. Yeah. And I think that's because early on God showed me, Craig, when you pour out your life for me, you're not going to be empty. Yeah. Yeah, the journey, Monday to Friday, there's some days I don't want to turn up. Some days I check the surf report and I'm like, damn. Bells is pumping. Maybe that spreadsheet can wait for another few hours. Maybe that policies and procedure can just take a little back seat for a week. Maybe we'll try and get that tenant out of Sim Street next week. There's some. We all have that. But the thing is that when we're placed where we're graced, come on, there's an overflow. Stop expecting empty. Come on, if you're on team, don't expect empty. Don't expect empty. I'm getting full right now. Does that mean we serve every service, every session? No. That's what I love about our teams. There's a rostering system. So there is actually a reality that we need to self-manage. Right? But here's the kicker. Sometimes trying to protect ourselves from being used again, what we do is in self-preservation, we decide not to serve. And as God keeps growing His church, the ones who are serving, they're required to stretch a bit more, serve a bit more, stay a bit more, serve even more. And the very thing we're trying to stop ourselves from getting, we're actually positioning others to now enter into that season where potentially they're going, oh my gosh, I've got nothing left. What, another service? I served 3 services last week. I've got to serve another 2 services this week because people cancelled. And I mean, there was people were going to jump on, but they didn't jump on. And I'm just saying to us, church, what's the answer to that? The answer is, hey, what's on my life? And if we just played the part God's called us to play, who knows that literally our rosters would be once every 6 weeks. I don't want to serve every 2 weeks. Well, you don't need to if we all just do something. Like, if we all just say, oh, I can do that.
then I tell you what, our teams will multiply. And as God multiplies his church, we're going to multiply from a place of strength. And we're not going over to try and sustain what God's doing. No, we're ready and positioned for him to stretch and to grow and to increase his church. Come on, that we can go and step into everything that he wants us to do. It is not burdening to be on mission. It's a blessing to be on mission. It's not draining. It's divine. It's not taxing. It's transformation. The journey is critical because it positions us where we need to be. I love the reality is that God's called us to carry. He's called us to carry. I love that Jesus in Acts, sorry, not Jesus, Peter and John, I love that on their way into the temple, there's a man who's been carried and he's been there, placed there daily to beg. And what's on their life gets on his life. And this man gets up, his ankles are strong, he's jumping, praising, runs into the house of God. How did he get there? He got there, oh, because of the anointing that was on Peter and John. That's not how he got there. He got there because someone who isn't named, every day, carried him and placed him in the position of God's presence. You know that every time we serve, whether it be car park, every time we serve, whether it be the mums group on a Tuesday morning, every time we serve, whether it be a community kitchen, every time we serve, whether it be literally on a side desk where nobody can see you, every time we serve, you know what we're doing? We're placing people in the presence. But imagine if we could not just place people in the presence, but we could carry them with the presence. So the grace that's on us is the same grace that gets on them. And God, by his will, in his way, starts to position people that they're carried to a place where they encounter him and their lives are transformed. You go, Greg, that's a great theory. That's really nice to hear. No, I'm telling you, it's happening on the weekly. It's happening as we speak. There's people here today and you're going, yeah, even though this is all new and all that kind of stuff, man, I'm sensing something. God's presence is here. Last Sunday I came, I found myself on an altar and there's things that have been broken off my life. Because people carried me from the car park through the kids' room to the hello with the coffee, and I found myself in a place. God, you can change my life. You can transform my heart. You can set me free. I attended your 11 a.m. service with my friend yesterday. There's an email we received. We were visiting from Adelaide, and we attend church regularly. I felt compelled to let you know about my experience, so strap in for a ride. At that point when I read that, I was like, this can go two ways. We were welcomed by your welcome team as we arrived in the first 30 seconds of awkwardly standing against an available wall, not really knowing what to do. Kaz, who was on the connection team, spotted us. Go, Kaz. Made her way over to introduce herself. Her conversation was effortless, and it felt genuine and gentle. I'm finding it hard to articulate the feeling that I felt attending your service. It felt like the way had been prepared, and all I had to do was show up. Your church felt like home. Maybe because of the name Life and it just made me feel slightly comfortable, but I'd say more likely because of the atmosphere and the setup spoke volumes. When Pastor Craig shared about expansion, dang, that was incredibly inspiring. To celebrate your target being met, and on the same hand, I felt like partnering together in expansion. It was just so simplistic, but a genuine invitation for people to meet you where they're at on their own stretch to partner together with building God's kingdom. Your church, his church was so responsive to worship, the direction and to the word. The lean in from the congregation was felt, and it was felt easy for me to lean into it too. I want to thank you for making my visit so significant. I hope you are encouraged because it's almost 24 hours later and I'm still thinking about my experience. And feeling grateful that I stepped out of my own comfort zone so I could enter God's presence that day. Thank you so much. Come on, can we thank every single person, the seen, the unseen, carried into the presence, carried into his courts, carried into his house, carried into his grace, carried into his mercy. I tell you what, I'm not here to put weight on anybody and make you do something you're not ready to do, but I am here to say to you, there's a grace on your life. Come on, there's a commission that's worth stepping into. There's a cause that's worth carrying. And I want to see a kingdom that's worth building, expand to reach a city. I got to encourage you, why did Jesus go to the woman at the well? Why? Because there was one person that needed to be met. But the truth of it is, what happened is one person was met, one life was transformed, and a city experienced revival. We declared an expansion, a decade of destiny, that Simms Street would be a place of revival. How is it going to be a place of revival? When we decide to carry one. When we carry one person to the presence. When we carry one person to the house. When we carry him through our technical ability. When we carry him through our welcome ability. When we carry him in whatever God's graced you to do. When you carry him through serving in the parents' room. How great is our parents' room? One person's met with the presence of God. The message of Jesus spreads to the community. A whole city starts to flock to meet the name that's above every other name. I want revival to happen. What team are you on? Oh, no, I don't want to be on a team. I just want to come to the meetings. Come on. What happens when God says, hey, another service tonight, guys? Yeah, but it's Monday. Yeah, no, but revival's not easy. Revival's not all structured. But we're going to need some people to like help people know where to car and stuff. Yeah, well, I mean, people only, like, we haven't got enough. We only just got enough for Sunday. Could we be a church that's not scraping by to be able to enable what God and just entrust what he has now, but could we be a church that's constantly in a place of multiplication? Come on, there's other campuses God's wanting us to be birthing. There's other areas God wants to extend. There's new connect groups to start. There's other areas, and I'm just saying, the quickest way to recover, the quickest way to live filled to overflowing is to outwork the grace that's on your life. So what we've done is, and I need to be relatively rapid on this, but what we've done is we've actually made known, I want to put it in front of you, we've made known of even just to step in day one at Simms Street, 3 months' time. What's going to take place is what we're going to need is we're literally going to need 14 more in production team, 50 more in kids team. That's a large number. Car park is going to expand. We're going to need 24 people on that. Rain, hail, or shine. Security. Service hosts. Connection team. Can you shake a hand? Can you smile? I don't know about you, but I look at this and I go, man, we could multiply that easy. Come on, if 80%, well, let's say 10% are in hospital, 70%. 70% of people. Come on, could we not see this filled to overflowing? Come on, could we not put on somebody else the sense of being like, I'm overwhelmed because I just have to keep on doing everything? Could we say, hey, no, I'm in as well. I'm here. I'm a tree right now, but I believe there's something in me that can be shaped. I believe there's something in me that can be encouraged. I believe there's something in me that God has. I tell you, we see it as well. Would you let us partner with you and encourage you to step into that? And so we have today, Play My Part. And in that, there's a website, there's a QR code that you can scan, there's a website link that you can go to. But in that, basically what we're saying is, how do we channel it down to what your passion's about, the things that's in your heart to do? And in that is there's different areas. Oh man, I love making people feel at home. Gosh, I love the fact that I help people grow. Are you serious? I could talk to anything, for anyone. Awesome. You love a yarn. I love that. And there's a whole lot of us, I'd say most of us, that would say, you know what? I love it all. I just love it. So what happens when you scan that QR code and go to that URL is you end up on our website. And then on our website, it's got that Play My Part, and you can scroll down and it's got a bit of an understanding as to why you'd be involved. And we kind of like say, because you love it and it's fun and it's awesome to be on a team and you meet people. Well, that's all awesome too. But hey, I'm a part of a kingdom with a king that actually says, come on, what are we going to be? At the end of the day, God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And I don't want to be longing and saying, yeah, but I lived a busy life. And he goes, yeah. But what lasted for eternity? Yeah, right. Yeah, not so much. Come on, I don't want to be lacking at that time. I want to be like, God, man, I didn't get it all right, but sure, I gave you everything I got. And your life was full, not empty, full. So we go down and then it's got all these opportunities and you can click on anyone that you like. If you're in creative, you love creativity, you love web design, you love photography, you love worship, you've got spirit fingers like Nige. You can click on any one of these. Let's click on I Love It All for time. And in that, you're going to find, you'll scroll down and basically, then you've got this ability to see each team. And say you click onto that, say kids, because we're believing for kids' teams to multiply. Let's jump into kids. You click into kids, then it actually gives you a bit of an understanding of what it's like to be on the kids' team. Tells you about the team, tells you what age groups there are, tells you about the different areas, tells you what's required, lets you know that you're going to get a child check and you're going to do all these other things. And we'll, it's We're trying to make it as easy and like understandable, and you go, you know what? I might not be able to commit to that right now, but I could commit to being on a welcome team. All right, I've just had a baby, and that's quite full on, but if the parents lounge, I'm going to be in there anyway. Why don't I just help welcome people in that area? I'm not putting pressure on people. I'm just saying, let's not talk ourselves out of it. Let's open up our heart to what he wants to lead us into. And then as you go down, so I'm going as fast as I can because I went slower earlier. There we go. You're going to put in a few details. All right, we have our database is secure. It doesn't get shared everywhere else. You're not going to get calls from solar people wanting to sell you solar panels. Can't stand those phone calls. And you put that in, and then you go down and select a team. So first one is first preference. You click on that, and it's going to have all the teams. So obviously you've already identified, yeah, I'm into film. You click on film. And then the thing of it is that what about your second preference, third preference? Because sometimes what we want to get into now, one, we might need more training for that. And that might take some time, and we'll go on the journey with that. Or like me, you might, hey, I'm going to be a worship leader. And then you do rehearsals, and they go, hey, you'd be really good on the lyrics computer. And the thing of it is we've actually got to be open to being able to be led and be shaped and positioned. Oh, no, but I you don't understand the calling on my life. Okay, so it's about your calling. I thought we were here because it's his church, right? Like, let's not be offended easy. Let's just be open to being led. Thanks, Merripee. Come on. And then basically you click on that, and the truth of it is, guys, yeah, but if I can't do my first preference, I wouldn't do anything. You know that this church from Pastor Paul and Marie 32 years ago was built on servant leadership. I know we know these scriptures, but I need to finish with them. But even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10. Not so with you, but instead, whoever wants to become great among you actually must become a servant. Whoever wants to be the first must be a slave of all. That's not real popular teaching these days. Mark Verghese, who's actually with us next Sunday preaching in the morning, says this: if serving is beneath you, then potentially being Christ-like is beyond you. Oh, I don't serve. Well, that's what our Savior did. Could we in this moment not realize it's what we're doing for Christ, but actually what we're doing with him? Realize what he wants to do in us, and realize then it's about what he can do collectively through us, and we can see his name lifted up higher. Come on, we can see hordes of people come into the kingdom, and we can see the reality of a city shaped and changed in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, if you feel something in your heart, if you feel stirred, if you feel like there's something that he's put in your heart, let's honor him. Again, don't want to condemn the 80%. I'm just saying to you, I'm sorry if you've ever felt like we didn't need you. I'm sorry if people were so excellent at what they did, it looked like there was no room. I'm just saying, hey, we'd so love to do life with you on an increased level. It literally changed my walk with God. And I pray it helps change yours too. I'm going to pray to close. The thing of it is we've come from a story where Jesus went out and met a woman at a well. She was broken. She was in need. She literally said, God, you and I, we can't. But it was Jesus who broke down the wall and said to her, no. It's not based on your terms, it's based on mine. And in my terms, say, I've already made a way. There's nothing in your life, there's nothing you've done, there's nothing you're going through, there's nothing that you'll end up in the future that could separate me from your love. The only thing that stops right now is an open heart invitation. We exist as a church to see people open their hearts to Jesus, people to know him as their Lord and Savior. Today, I'm going to close in a prayer. But for us as a church, really, we want to take personal ownership of that in a way that really it's even the person sitting next to you, or in a way that you would say, well, I'm ready to open my heart to God. I want to know more about him. Then you would actively take a step to go and discover more. We're not going to force it into you. We're not going to make you do anything. But if your heart's saying, gosh, I know I don't have God in my life, then today, before you walk out the front and leave this building, would you come to the front? There's going to be somebody holding a Bible, and they're simply saying, hey, I'd love to pray with you. That's simply what that sign means. Can I pray with you? Can I give you this Bible, that message of Jesus, that you would know him for yourself? Or maybe you once were in relationship with God, but you've disconnected, you've walked away. I'm telling you, you've never walked too far. God's right there. He's knocking on your heart. He loves you. But would you just take one step? One step is just to come meet somebody. If you came with somebody, take them with you. You can go together and talk about that. Let them pray with you. There'll be someone at the information desk holding one as well. You might go, well, that's a bit public. Then come meet somebody at the front. Or it might be as simple as talking to the person next to you, saying, hey, have you got a walk with God? Yeah, I do. Could you tell me more about him? And then they'll talk to you about their walk, and then they're going to lead you in a prayer that you can know Jesus for yourself. But I believe God is on the move. I believe we are together going to step into the promise. And I believe that we are going to live lives full in Jesus' name. Father, we honor you. We thank you. We praise you for your church. You're significant. You're incredible. You're life-changing. Father, I pray that today we wouldn't just hear something that resonates in our heart, but there would be an activation. Father, there'd be something that would enable us to be able to allow the truth of your word to come alive in our lives. That when we operate in your grace, God, you are a God that does not leave us empty, drained, or all undone. But God, you are one who lives in the overflow. You fill up, you pour in. Father, we thank you for our teams. God, I pray if anyone be feeling weary, God, I pray right now by the wonder of your spirit, Lord, that they would sense overflow right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for anyone who's been hurt in ministry moments prior, Lena, little bit overdone in other faith environments. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, as a church, you've called us to restore. Lord, would you help us see your healing take place? Would you help us see people running in the fullness of what you've created them to run? And I thank you, Lord, that your invitation is kind, your mercy is here, and your grace is enough. Father, we honor you. We say, have your way. We love your church. We love you. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well,
we trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.